Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, in the news, Saddam paid off French leaders almost $2 billion to the French government, officials, businessmen, and journalists, for them apparently to overlook the genocide going on in Iraq against Saddam's own people and to oppose the U.S. and our effort to take a mass-murdering tyrant down. What else is in the news? So that story is just extraordinary. And then we have Stolen Honor, the documentary about John Kerry's anti-war activities and statements accusing U.S. soldiers of systematic war crimes and atrocities, cutting off heads, cutting off ears, rape, intentional shooting civilians systematically. And that documentary has got the liberals in an absolute tizzy. And that'll be fascinating to watch that develop. We here at Bob Enyart Live, we've predicted that that will become the final big issue of the campaign. And let's see what else. Oh, the Beatles. Beatles photographs have been stolen near the Clinton Library. George Harrison's sister, Louise Harrison, was bringing early photographs and some Beatle lyrics down to give as a gift to the Clinton Presidential Library, and they were stolen from her car right outside the library, and the police think there's no indication that the thief had any idea what was in the case. But I'm wondering, where was Bill Clinton at the time? You mean to tell me he had no idea that Louise was going to bring those photos? He'd probably rather have him in his house than in the library. He's not going to hang out at the library in Little Rock, of all places. All right, we're going to Little Rock in November for the opening of the Clinton Presidential Library to remind people that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. And if you want to go with us, how many people we have going to that? We have 18 people. 18 people going, and we're going to leave from Denver Bible Church after a Sunday morning service and drive to Arkansas. And you could meet us there or drive along. We'll have a good time. All right. Let's see. So those are the stories we want to cover. And also from the O'Reilly file, Bill O'Reilly is being sued, a sexual harassment lawsuit by a female Fox News reporter, a news producer, actually. And hours before her lawsuit was filed, he filed a lawsuit accusing Andrea Makris, M-A-C-K-R-I-S, of trying to shake him down and asking for $60 million. And now the Smoking Gun website, the Smoking Gun has the complaint, a lengthy 22-page complaint from Andrea Makris against Bill O'Reilly. And sadly, it's extremely specific and graphic, going on for that many pages about specifics of how he harassed her with constant, repeated discussion about sex and all kinds of specifics. And the Smoking Gun, they go so far to say that the quotes appear to be they're so extensive and so verbatim that they think that Andrea Makris was wearing a wire, that was she was secretly recording O'Reilly. But her lawsuit doesn't state that. It just has these extended quotes. So it will be it'll be sad to follow the development of this story. But, you know, O'Reilly, so many conservatives think that he's conservative. Even Christians have thought, hey, this guy, what he became huge for the same reason that Rush Limbaugh became huge. It was really conservative Christians that put both of them on the national map with significant ratings. With Rush, in the early days, the early couple of years of his show, he was strongly against abortion. He talked about abortion a lot, very aggressively. And now, you know, it's a non-issue for him. He brings it up if he's compelled to once or twice a year. And with O'Reilly, O'Reilly did not like Bill Clinton. And so conservative Christians thought he must be a Christian. He must be a conservative. Look, he doesn't like Bill Clinton. And there are a few things that O'Reilly, definitely his sensibilities, are correct on. For example, when charities use tragedies like Columbine to raise millions of dollars and there's no accountability and the money goes to their bureaucracy. The same thing that Columbine families were pointing out at the time, in fact. So those things, it's not that everything O'Reilly does is wrong, but if you look at the guy, is he a conservative? He's certainly not Christian. And he says he's Catholic. He's certainly not a good Catholic even. But he's not a Bible-believing Christian. He's against the death penalty. He's pro-evolution. He's against spanking. He's pro-abortion. I mean, these are typical liberal things, right? You're against spanking because it's cruel, and you support the killing of children. That's liberalism. You got to be completely backwards. He's against the death penalty. Bill O'Reilly, this is from our O'Reilly O'Reilly file, Fox News Channel's The O'Reilly Factor. He's against the death penalty. He supports evolution, pro-evolution. We've evolved from slime. He's against spanking. He's pro-abortion. He supports homosexual adoption. He supports homosexual civil unions. He's pro-homosexual rights. Obviously, he's generally pro-homosexual. He, of course, is overwhelmingly pro our godless public school system. By that, a conservative should be able to recognize that the government should not be educating kiddies. It's not the government's job to raise or educate children. That's the job of families, not the government. And the government does a really bad thing at everything that it does, except for the couple things it's supposed to do. Everything else it does poorly. And so he's very supportive of our government school system. His novel, Bill O'Reilly's novel, includes a tawdry sex scene. I haven't read the novel, but you can hardly not know that if you know anything about him. And he supports the gag rule against churches that disenfranchise pastors from participating in the political process, that pastors should not be allowed to tell people, hey, imagine in Germany, if Germany had our rules and Adolf Hitler's running for office, and pastors would not be allowed to say, well, since Adolf Hitler wants to kill Jews, we should not vote for him. Bill O'Reilly would arrest the pastor. So you can't say that. I mean, not only Bill O'Reilly, but all the liberals in America and most of the Republican politicians who are content, fat, dumb, and happy with the gag rule on ministers. Okay, so that's what's going on at Fox News Channel, and it's a biggie. It's definitely a biggie. Remember O'Reilly said when the New Jersey Governor James McGreevy announced that he was resigning and that he was a homosexual and he had an affair, if you could even use that word. I mean, talking about giving affairs a bad reputation when you got a homosexual had an affair. And O'Reilly offered, he said, well, that's not a sufficient reason to step down, to resign. I mean, that's how messed up he is. That's how messed up O'Reilly is. And so from the immoral worldview that he comes from and that he supports, then you have the accusation of his female producer and his defense, a he said, she said, although the smokinggun.com, they gone out on a limb and said they think she has audio tapes of this. So we'll see. All right, phone number 1-800-836-9278. Bob and Yurt Live, you can hear it on the web at kgov.com. And in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Chris, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, sir.
I'd never heard you speak on this topic before. I was wondering what your thoughts were on price gouging.
Yes, for in hurricanes?
Yeah, actually, in hurricanes, or say like the flu shots have gone up, I think 10 times their normal price, I just heard.
What were they normally?
I heard they were about $10.
And now it's $100 in Louisiana for a flu shot?
I don't know. I heard this on Fox News.
All right, well then it's 62% reliable. So it may be true.
Right.
Okay, well, just generally, you're right, we haven't addressed this. As a general rule, liberals talk about corporations charging huge prices and making exorbitant profits. And as a general rule, there's no such thing as exorbitant profits, as a general rule, because usually profit margins are slim enough that owners could sometimes make more money by breaking up the company and selling the property, selling the equipment, selling their fleets, selling their real estate, their buildings. And so sometimes some business owners have to decide, do we want to keep making airplanes or sell our land and develop condos next door to LAX? That's a decision a lot of companies have to make. So profits are typically not exorbitant when you look at the investment. How much money is invested in the infrastructure of a business, and what's their return on investment? And typically, it's not huge. I mean, what industry has a 40% return on investment? There is no industry like that. Because if there were, then other companies would get in on it.
Right.
And the competition in 3 years would cut the ROI down to 20%. And 20% is really good return on your money, so then other companies would get in and it would get down to 10% and 8% and
right.
to a
Everything
more normal 5%. So anyway, generally, there's no such thing in the long term as exorbitant profits, and profits are good, not bad. And liberals don't understand that businesses – businessmen hire people and pay salaries, and if the businessmen are not making good profits, they'll give up. It's a waste of time.
Right.
So I want companies to be very profitable and make a lot of money. That's good. That's good for me and my family and for America. Okay, so in the case of, let's say, the hurricane, there's laws in Florida like price gouging. And I think those laws are a bad idea. For example, trees are down everywhere, and some guy with a chainsaw and a pickup truck comes by and says, for $800, I'll get rid of the tree that fell down over your garage. And Florida has a law that he can't charge any more than he would have charged before the hurricane,
right?
Which maybe would have been $400. And so, you know, if you could make a lot of money clearing out trees, a lot of people will go there from around the United States. And there'll be an extra 3,000 guys offering to haul away trees, and the price will come down within a week or so. And the people who are most eager to get their business up and running will pay the extra $1,000. And you'll get more work done faster. But liberals are control freaks, and they think they know better. So anyway, so as a general rule, I'm all against any laws concerning price gouging. I don't think governing officials, bureaucrats are not smart enough to figure out what's best for the people. Bureaucrats can't pull that one off. So as far as the flu vaccine you're talking about, I don't know anything about that story. I haven't heard of it.
Well, evidently there's a big shortage on the flu vaccine right now. So it's gone up 10 times the price.
Well, and that makes sense, right? If
supply and demand.
Yeah, if there's a big demand and all of a sudden, and it's owned by a private company and millions of people want it and they only have enough for 1,000 people, all right, it's $100 a shot. That makes sense to me.
Right,
was part of the supply contaminated?
I'm not sure. I didn't get the whole story.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, part of the supply was contaminated, so the good stuff is more expensive. So anyway, and the money that goes, let's not talk about flu vaccines in particular, but medical research generally. It's really good for medical researchers to be able to make a large profit. That's good. So that they'll continue to work for cures for all kinds of diseases.
I agree.
Yeah. So anyway, that's generally our take here, Chris. All right?
All righty.
God bless you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. How many bits of information go into the price of a product? See, in socialist countries and communist countries, the government says, well, here's the price of a loaf of bread. Or here's what a gallon of gas costs. The government sets it. And bureaucrats are not smart enough to set a price of a product or a service. How many bits of information go into the price of a loaf of bread or a banana? You go to the store and buy a banana. What does one banana cost? I don't know. It's good I'm not running for president because they'd probably ask me. Well, Mr. Enyart, how much does a banana cost? I don't know. I don't care. I don't give a rip. My wife buys the bananas. If they're too much, she won't buy them. But one banana, if you work out what's involved in bringing one banana from South America to a neighborhood store near you, there's literally, if you count everybody that had a hand in getting that banana from the plantation to your kitchen table, if you count everybody, some people try to think, let's see, 20 people, 30, the guy who picked it. Well, the guy who planted it, the guy who picked it, the guy put it in a ship, and the guy took it out of the ship onto a truck, onto a train, then onto a truck, then the guy put it on the shelf. You're ignoring, like, all the people who made the ship function and the people who get the fuel for the ship and the people who make the trains and make the trains work and the people who just – it turns out there are hundreds of thousands of people whose contribution was critical to getting the banana to your kitchen table. Hundreds of thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands. Now, if any one of them didn't do their job, somebody else would have, but it's hundreds of thousands of people. So the guy who captains the ocean vessel to bring the bananas from South America to North America, he relies on thousands of products and services and supplies to run that ship. And if any number of them were missing, he'd be stuck out in the Atlantic or in the Gulf somewhere. So we're not smart enough as human beings to have governing bureaucrats, officials who can set prices. They are not smart enough. All right, we figured that out at Bob and Yurt Live, well, even years before Bob and Yurt Live, we figured that out decades ago as a primary criticism against communism, other than it violates thou shalt not steal. And then some guy 15 years ago or so won a Nobel Prize in economics for figuring out that socialist countries are not smart enough to price products. Well, it's about time he figured it out. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. James, speak your mind.
Yes, how you doing today?
Doing well, sir.
Yes, I heard what you said about Bill O'Reilly and some of the things that he believes in. And Actually, me and my wife watches him on his show, and we really thought he was a conservative. We didn't know the information that was that we received from you today. And but I had a question for you. What is your take on Bible versions?
Bible versions. Yeah. We actually had a show about that with a King James only guy who called in a couple months ago. And you could listen to that whole show if you download it from our website at kgov.com.
Okay.
But at Denver Bible Church, what we use is the New King James.
Okay.
And for people who are smart enough, the King James is great, the old King James.
Right.
For people more average like me, the New King James is easier to read. But the other versions, like the NASB or the HIV or all those, they're based on Greek texts that are very poor as far as the errors in the text.
Right, right.
They're primarily based on two Greek manuscripts that are very old, but they contradict one another tremendously, and they contradict the other thousands of Greek manuscripts.
Right.
So we go with the majority text, which is the body of Greek New Testament manuscripts that Christians have used over the centuries to translate New Testaments from. So that's why we go with the New King James. And in the New Testament, you know, Jesus and the apostles, they quoted the Old Testament frequently. And sometimes they quoted the Hebrew Old Testament, and other times, many times, they quoted the Septuagint, which was a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have, you could buy a copy of the Septuagint. It's in Greek. And you could buy an interlinear of it. So you got the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament that was made 200 years before Christ. And then in between the lines, it has the English translation of the Greek Septuagint. And you'll find that in some places, most places, it's very similar to our Hebrew Old Testament. In other places, it's quite different. And,
right.
And Jesus and the apostles quoted from the Septuagint frequently, showing me that they were not super uptight about Bible versions.
Oh, okay.
Because God's word is very robust. Just like he wrote the DNA that made Adam and Eve.
Right. Right?
He wrote the DNA, and even though there's a breakdown in DNA from generation to generation because of sin, you still, when you have a baby, it's still a human being. It's still a human being, even though the DNA, the language that our genetic code is written in, has become somewhat corrupted.
Well, one of my main concerns is that when you're teaching the Word of God, and you have people on different pages of different types of Bibles.
Yeah,
it's very hard to have one train of thought. I mean, because, the texts and everything. And I listen to a lot of shows, and I also watch a lot of TV as far as some of these Christian shows on TV. And I just don't see how – I don't really see any of these shows taking a stand on anything, especially the foundation on which we have our faith, which is the Word of God. And one of the things that concerns me is that you have all these people doing the outreaches and all these different types of things, but you can't even agree on the foundation. And
well,
that's
hey,
where
James,
I have a problem.
James, I think you're focusing on something that's not as important as you're thinking it is. How many languages has the Bible been translated into?
Many different languages.
Or in large part? Take a guess.
Man, I can't. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's say 30.
Okay, it's over 2,000.
Okay.
Over 2,000. And
okay.
And we American Christians, we think that the whole universe revolves around us as Americans. And so some of us get all bent out of shape about the King James. The King James is one of thousands of translations of the Bible. It's a great one, and it's a crucial one, but it's just one. So people who read Vietnamese, you know, people who read Spanish, people read Romanian, Russian, they got Bibles in their languages in all of our Bibles, the worst of our Bibles are better than 99% of the foreign language Bibles.
Well, didn't the Lord say in Psalm chapter 12, he'll preserve his word from generation to generation?
Yes, he did, but you don't know what that means.
Sure, I do.
No, you don't.
Sure, I do. I know exactly what it means.
Well, let me illustrate.
Okay, go ahead.
You think that God has promised that every generation will have God's pure word, unadulterated, undefiled. You think that God has promised that, right?
Well, that's what he said.
Okay. Well, if you remember, how about the three generations before King Josiah? You remember King Josiah?
Sure.
And do you remember the three to four generations before him? Do you remember the word of God that they had, pure and undefiled?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, sir.
Well, they didn't, because a century before King Josiah, the Bible had disappeared from off the face of the earth. And so much so that the Jews, the priests, did not have any Bible to use, and the nation even stopped keeping the Passover. They forgot there was a Passover. And in the days of King Josiah, he loved the Lord, he remembered the Lord, and he ordered the priests to clean the temple. It was in ruins. And in the ruins of the temple, they found scrolls that were the Bible.
Absolutely.
And the priest put sackcloth and ashes on, and he grieved because they had so despised God that they had lost the Bible for generations. So the King James only argument that verse means that God will make sure that every generation has his pure and unadulterated scripture, that interpretation of that is wrong if the Bible is right. Because the Bible says there were multiple generations that had no scripture whatsoever.
But still now, I agree with you there, but still, thus saith the Lord, his word was from the beginning until the end. So well, what I'm saying is when the Lord
James,
spoke
the Bible,
word, that
yeah.
was pure, right?
James, you're making something out of it that God did not intend.
Okay.
You
Maybe
are.
I'm misunderstanding. Maybe I just can't read.
No, you could read.
Okay.
But for example, how long have you cared about Bible versions, months or years?
Oh, it's been 7 years now.
Okay. In all that time, when you were telling people that God promised to preserve his word,
mm-hmm.
did you ever tell the story that I just told about King Josiah and that generations had no Bible at all? Did you
well,
ever tell that story?
Well, you're absolutely right. I told that same story. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is even though they didn't have the scripture on paper, they still had the word of the Lord. I mean, he said
no, they
plenty
didn't.
Of...
No, they didn't, James. They didn't. James, the Passover was central to their worship of God, and they didn't even remember there was a Passover.
So you mean to tell me that the Lord was, like, non-existent? He never sent his word?
No, the Lord was existent, but because of man's sin, his word was lost to generations. We're out of time. Thank you so much for your call. Interesting call. Hey, I didn't have time to talk about Stolen Honor, the documentary about Kerry. We're going to talk more about that in on coming shows and before the election. And the French getting paid off almost $2 billion. We'll talk about that, too. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, 431-5653. Over 100 staff members, beautiful 20-acre campus, Christ-centered, top academics. All for your kids, 431-5653.